Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon is the gospel lesson, especially verse 34. Ha, what have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. That's the words of the demon. And that was sneaky. Did you catch what he did? The demon puts together two ideas. One is who Jesus is. He is the Holy One of God. And then he puts that together with the question, have you come to destroy us? And by doing it that way, he is suggesting, insinuating, joining together the holiness of God with our destruction. Wow. And you could just leave it and walk away, but that's been the campaign ever since. To suggest to the whole world that the holiness of God is a holiness that is destined for our destruction. And then to say, what do you have to do with us? What do we have to do with you? And this holiness of God, to leave it, to walk away from it. So the idea that the holiness of God is a terrifying thing and it's too much and you shouldn't want it. Or that the presence of God is bound up in wrath and judgment. That's the campaign. How wrong can that possibly be? Completely wrong. But if you look around in the world, is that not what you see? A huge percentage of mankind acting that way about God and his holiness, as if Jesus was the one who came to get rid of all of the fun parts of life. As if Jesus was here to take all the good things in life away from us. It's the twisting of right and wrong, the twisting of true and false. But it leads for many in our world to not want anything to do with Jesus. And that is the basic problem that the church faces and has faced for 2,000 years. How do you go out and you give the word to somebody who is starting from the place of God's holiness is because God is against me? How do you deal with that? How do you invite people into this is the joy and the glory and how sweet it is to know Jesus to somebody who says, well, all you're bringing is should and shouldn'ts and commandments and law and law and more law and judgment and all of that. Forgetting over and over again what Martin Luther learned from the scriptures, that the holiness of God is what God does to make us holy. And it is not that God is sitting up in heaven looking down on us and just waiting for the time when he can really judge us. The holiness of God is what God does to make us holy. But think about it. Hasn't that been the campaign, the propaganda from the beginning? From the beginning. Has God indeed said, words of the devil, and then to suggest, well, God doesn't want you eating this because you'll be like God. And And to know the seriousness of all of this, think about it this way. The devil went to Adam and Eve and laid it out for them. They could have paradise, the Garden of Eden, everything sweet in life. They could be running around the garden, not even worrying about clothes. Or they could have a piece of fruit. And he talked them into the piece of fruit. So around the world you have people thinking that Christianity and knowing Jesus and talking about sins being forgiven and rising from the dead is all dull and boring. How'd that happen? We are up against a major propaganda machine, the biggest there has ever been. That's why I say, well, that was sneaky. You want to hear some more sneaky? Wow. It's tucked away in that question, what have you to do with us? Okay? Who's the us in the question? You got the forces of evil saying, hey, us. It's you and me. Us. Now, wait a minute. That's not right. But there it is. What have you to do with us? As if God left off his interfering and meddling and just let the human race go about their business, we could make this a better world for all. How's that working? But you hear it all around the world. And people saying the problem in this world is religion. Just religion. As if the belief that God made us and created us and calls us to live lives that are devoted to love our God and to love our neighbor, as if that was the problem. And every time it gets around to the Olympics, I'm watching for that closing ceremony when every time it happens, they break into that song, Imagine There's No Heaven. Seize it if you try. No hell below us, above us only sky. Imagine all the people living for today. And what would they do if they were just living for today? And not answering to God for how they have loved their neighbors. But that is what is being tried. Oh, and it's not only humanity in general, it's us individually. So the call and the lure is, well, especially for young people, why would you want to go to church and hang around those old people? Go have fun. Have fun while you're young. You can think about other things when you're older, but have fun now. Who needs God? And that's how it rolls out to our kids. The devil pretends to identify with us. He works at winning us over into walking and living and then dying without God. And that's why Jesus commanded, be silent and come out of him. Because there is something very different that Jesus sets out as the real reality. Oh yes, he's the Holy One of God. But what kind of holiness does he bring? Jesus comes with the holiness of God, but it's not a holiness focused on destroying sinners and heaping on more and more commandments. He comes with a holiness that is there to set us free and make us holy and right in the eyes of God and bring us into eternal life and transform us into the likeness of Jesus Christ himself. It is, as Martin Luther said, the holiness of God is not that he sits up in heaven and looks down on us and says, I'm holy, you're not, and I'm going to judge you and judge you completely. No, the holiness of God, according to Luther, is. The holiness of God is what God does to make us holy. In the same way, the glory of God is what God does to make us glorious. The wisdom of God, what God does to make us wise. The strength of God, what God does to make us strong. And you see, each one of these is guiding us and leading us and pulling us to consider our Lord Jesus and his cross. Because it is at the cross that God brings a holiness that makes us holy and a glory that makes us glorious and a wisdom that makes us wise and a strength that makes us actually truly strong. So the holiness of Jesus, that's not something to be afraid of. That is something that God invites us in. Jesus sets the man there free. That day sets him free. But he's not just free from stuff. He is free to eternal life, to the joys of heaven, to being transformed and glorious, and sharing in the whole business of rising from the dead. He is set free to ages and ages of life and celebrating with angels, talking with Abraham and David, seeing things that would amaze you, being with millions after millions of the saved and experiencing having his body transformed, perfect, strong, unaging, being transformed into the likeness of Jesus. Second, there's that question. That question, what have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? You know what the answer to that question is? What does Jesus have to do with us? Exactly. That's the answer I wrote down. Everything. Everything without exception. Everything. Now, the devil wants to lie and says he identifies with us and he's in with us. Yeah, right. Jesus is the one who came down from heaven to be born and actually be one of us. That means he gets to experience the weakness, the hunger, the thirst, the fatigue of this human nature. It means he stands outside the tomb of Lazarus knowing that he's going to raise Lazarus from the dead in just a few seconds, but there outside the tomb, what's he doing? He's weeping, sharing human sorrow. And we said everything, right? Does that include sinfulness? Yeah. He didn't have any of his own, so he had to take yours. So he could be there with you in your sinfulness and carry that sin to the cross and do away with that sin. He didn't have a death of his own, so he borrowed yours, carried that to the cross, and died your dying. And just a few weeks ago, we said, we had a first dying, didn't we? Happened in our baptism when we were joined with Jesus in his dying. We were buried with Christ by baptism into death. So I've had my first death already. Okay. Second one, not so much to worry about, because that's the dying of Jesus given to me again. when I get to see God face to face. He shared that with us, identifying in every way with us, so that everything that was ours, he could take for himself. And he could bear that burden. And everything that is his, he could give to us. And we could celebrate in the blessings and rejoice in his goodness and be on our way living forever, right now, living for all eternity because we have Jesus connected with us. So some time ago, not too long ago, I was out at Park Point, the nursing home, praying with Marge, who was in her last days. And part of the prayer went like this: thank you, Jesus, for your cross, because in your cross, you sweep away everything that separates us from the love of God. Thank you for your death, because in your dying, you carry us through our dying. Thank you for your resurrection, because in your rising, you set before us the promise that we also will rise. And that's Jesus, who has come to be one of us so that we might be with him for all eternity. In Jesus' name, amen.